Inferno on Ice is produced in conjunction with Blaze Radio, the on-campus radio station at Arizona State University.
Up a loose puck. Centers one. Zacher's there. Rebound. They score. It's Cohen who found the loose puck and buried it top shelf. And just 34 seconds in, Arizona State leads 1-0. Smolin covering the point. Passes left for Beck. One more. Cohen scores again. Are you kidding me? This time it only took 29 seconds into the period. And Ryan Cohen's second goal of the night gives ASU a 2-0 lead. Here's down, over to Potter. Steps into one and scores! One pass for Schimmick into the zone. Potter wide open. Potter in, dangling, and he scores! Oh, baby! Colin Potter makes it 4-0! Goal scorer for Robert Morris here tonight. Eckerle gets one in transition, all alone, fires and scores. What a move. Here's Shane. Drop pass for Schimmick, down there instead. Crosses the red line, gets it in. A little pushing and shoving between Dowd and Roark. Meanwhile, play in front, it's loose and they score. Here's Tucker Ness up the right side, he'll fire one in. Stick saved by Milan that time. Kerwin tried for a hat trick, hit the ref instead. On the backhand, he scores! It's his night! Ryan Kerwin, a hat trick! 7-2 Devs. Dillon has one man to beat, gets a shot off, and they score! Ty finishes the job! It's 1-0 ASU. Bancroft's pass intercepted by Kerwin. His shot scores! All the momentum to the Sun Devils as Sillinger up the left side scores! In the final 20, Schimmick enters the zone on the right side. Schimmick makes his way toward the middle. Here's a shot by Court, and he buries it!
Welcome back to Inferno on Ice. The Sun Devils are desert hockey champs again, as they took down Robert Morris by a score of 7-3 on Friday, and Cornell in the Desert Hockey Classic Championship with a 4-0 shutout. Friday's game featured a hat trick for Kerwin, two goals from Colin Potter, a goal for Schoen and Eckerle, and in net was Luke Pavicic with 22 saves. Saturday's championship game was against Cornell, and Ty Jackson, Ryan Kerwin, Lucan Sillinger, and Sam Court all had goals for the Devils. And back in net was Gibson Homer with 34 saves.
It's great. 2 years in a row, it's always great to win a trophy in front of your fans. And to do it against such a good team and a good program, and it's awesome. I'm happy for our players. They're doing a great job. They're playing selflessly. They're playing for each other, and that's why we're playing really well right now.
Today on the show, we have Bennett Schimmick from the Sun Devils and Brad Schlossman, who's the beat reporter for North Dakota and covering college hockey and everything going on around the NCHC. First, here's my conversation with Bennett Schimmick.
So how did you get started in hockey, and what inspired you to pursue it as a career and in college?
Yeah, so, it's kind of a funny story. I mean, usually when you think of Minnesota, you know, everybody kind of has hockey ties. But funny enough, in my family, we really didn't. You know, both of my parents actually never played hockey and never really got on the ice much growing up. My brother, so I have an older brother, older sister. My brother plays at Alaska Anchorage. He was playing the traditional sports, you know, soccer, baseball, etc. One day, all his friends were trying out for the hockey team. He wanted to be with them, so he kind of did that too, and I kind of just followed in his footsteps and kind of fell in love with it immediately, and have been doing it ever since. As far as a career, I don't know. Like I said, I kind of fell in love with it from such a young age. Kept pursuing it, and it's the thing I love to do most.
You played in the USHL before coming to ASU and at Providence. How did the USHL prepare you for college hockey?
Yeah, I mean, the USHL, I mean, it's a phenomenal league. I know things are changing with it now, but going against, I mean, it's essentially college hockey before college hockey, just because of the amount of Division I commitments out of there. So it definitely prepares you to to play a full 60 minutes on a night-to-night basis against some of the top talent in the United States and even in the world. Yeah, it's physical, it's tough, it's a long season, and so is college. So, yeah, I think it's a great preparation.
You played at Providence before coming to ASU. What was it like playing at Providence?
Yeah, I loved it at Providence. I mean, it's obviously a lot different than ASU, kind of in every aspect. You know, hockey school, social, just being such a different school and environment. But I've loved both places that I've been. Yeah, hockey's obviously big on the East Coast. There's schools all over the place. Hockey is a very competitive conference as well as the NCHC. So it was definitely a good learning experience, and I'm happy I played there for as long as I did. I think it's really prepared me nicely for here at ASU.
What were some differences between Hockey East and the NCHC?
You know, I would say there's a lot of, they're pretty similar across the board. I don't know, just teams are different. Hockey East is different, you know, because you're kind of always playing home and homes. Whereas in the NCHC now, you know, you're kind of in at home for two games or in somebody else's building for two games. So it's a little bit different of a setup. You kind of have to take advantage of when you're home, you know, a little bit more than out East, I think. But both are two great, really competitive leagues.
Yeah, what's the travel like now, and what's the difference between out here and at Providence?
I mean, obviously the hour and a half bus ride is a little bit different than the 3-hour plane ride. But it's just, I think now just being out here, you kind of have to put an extra emphasis on taking care of your body on these long road trips and really doing the little things, staying hydrated, keeping your body moving on planes, you know, getting loose in the hotel, you know, and we really have great staff members. So whether it's our strength coach, Leanne, or our athletic trainer, Amanda, that really help us keep our bodies in the best shape to help us prepare on Friday and Saturday.
And then just going into more a little bit about you, what are you studying at ASU?
So I'm a finance major at ASU.
And then what do you hope to do once you're done with school here? And you're a junior in school, right?
Yeah, I'm a junior in school. I mean, obviously the dream for me is to still play professional hockey. That's something I still strive for and I think is obtainable. But obviously hockey, you know, whether it's in your 20s, 30s or 40s, you know, it comes to an end for everybody. And as far as finance, you know, I'm not exactly sure what I want to do in that space, but I'm really intrigued in that area. And both my parents are kind of from the business world background, and just watching them growing up, I definitely see myself in that kind of role.
You're from Minnesota. If you had to choose a dream NHL team, who would you choose?
That's tough. I mean, obviously playing at home would be special in Minnesota, just because, you know, I've grown up watching the Wild, and in front of my friends and family would obviously be super cool. But I've been a Florida Panthers fan, believe it or not, you know, not just recently, but for the last probably since Nick Bjugstad got drafted there. So probably 10 years or so, I've been a Panthers fan. So playing in South Florida would be really cool. But really, I mean, there's so many great teams out there that, I mean, it'd be a dream to play for any of them.
College hockey and the college space is changing with NIL. How have you changed your personal brand after kind of the evolution of NIL?
Not a ton. You know, I'm not, it's definitely a smaller space in hockey than some other sports. I mean, it's growing for sure, but I wouldn't say I've altered my brand too much.
We're halfway through the season right now. What are some of your goals for the rest of this season?
Yeah, so I think as a team, we want to finish, you know, finishing near the top of the NCHC standings and hosting that first round in the NCHC playoffs, which has been a goal all season. And we're going to continue with that. We think that we can definitely set ourselves up in a good position in the second half to not only finish high in the NCHC, but the pairwise rankings as well. When it comes down to it, you know, we're going to take it game by game, focus one weekend at a time. But yeah, that's kind of where we see ourselves, big picture.
Obviously, the NCHC is a meat grinder. Everybody says it. There's no question about that. How do you take it one game and one series at a time?
Yeah, well, you kind of have to, especially in this league. I mean, if you, you know, look too far forward, you know, you're going to miss what's going on. And these teams are just so good in this league that you can't really overlook anybody. I mean, every weekend is six crucial points. You have to try to do your best to get each one of them. So we know it's going to be tight at the end of the year. So each game is really so important. And It already is kind of starting to feel like playoff hockey this early into the season.
Guys, ASU plays North Dakota. What are your thoughts on that? And do you see that kind of as a new rivalry?
I don't know necessarily. I mean, obviously they're one of the big teams in the NCHC, kind of a historic franchise. They've obviously had a lot of success in their long history, but I don't know. I don't think anything really changes for us. I mean, I know all the guys in the room, really want to beat them, and that would mean a lot to the team and this program as a whole. So it's definitely one that I think all the guys are excited for and should be a good crowd at the Mullet for.
Yeah, speaking of Mullet, the last games, great energy, pretty much sellouts. What is it like playing at Mullet Arena?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, we're super lucky and blessed to have such a great fan base. I mean, it makes such a difference, coming out to a packed building versus a half full building. I mean, it really just gives it creates such a big home ice advantage. I mean, you really see that throughout teams around the country. The teams that have, a great home ice advantage tend to do better and get those big wins at home. It's just so much harder to play in that sort of environment. So we're super lucky to have them. And yeah, it's definitely special and exciting every time you get to go out there.
Let's do some final, kind of some fun questions. Do you have any pregame rituals that help you prepare for for game day?
I do. I kind of have, I don't know if they're rituals, but I kind of just have a routine that I stick to. And it kind of starts pretty much from the moment I get to the rink. I don't I just stick to the same script. I mean, I tape my sticks the same way. I'm always using fresh tape, whether it's warm-ups or period one, two, or three. I'll have Noah Beck rub a puck on my stick for every game stick that I'm using. Like, I'll do the exact same thing in warm-ups, exact same stretches. I don't know. I don't know if it's superstition, but I just like to keep everything the same. And if I change it a little bit and either goes good or bad, I think I tend to translate it. Oh, that's why that happened, which is funny. And I know it's not really how it's working, but it's kind of just what happens in my head.
Do you have a certain like pregame meal or a night or a meal that you always have the night before?
Not necessarily. I mean, with us traveling so much, it's kind of hard to do that. I mean, we're lucky we get provided great meals pre and post game. And I mean, it's always pretty similar. It's usually like chicken, rice, and some sort of veggie, but nothing too specific in terms of like the type of chicken. I know some guys are a little bit more superstitious in that than.
What has been your favorite moment so far with ASU?
That's a tough one. I mean, obviously that sweep versus Denver in Denver was such a big moment for this team and kind of got us back on track. And kind of, I think, I mean, we always had the belief in our room about what we could do, but I felt like, for a lot of the first half, we just weren't getting the results that, we necessarily had hoped. So finally seeing those results in Denver, playing how we knew that we could play, seeing the results and, it kind of put us back in a good position, not only in the NCHC, but in the country. So I think we all know how big that weekend was for us. And I think, so yeah, I think that would have to be the best moment so far.
What series are you looking most forward to in the rest of the regular season?
I'm super excited to go to St. Cloud and Duluth, believe it or not. So at Providence, we never played any Minnesota team. So playing Duluth a couple weeks ago was pretty cool. And then I've never played in junior hockey or college hockey a game back home. So I'm definitely excited to get there and play in front of some of my friends and family.
What is your favorite restaurant in the Phoenix or Tempe area?
That's really tough. There's a lot of good food down here. A lot of good food. So my roommate, this might be pretty controversial just because there's so many probably better options. And this isn't really a sit-down restaurant. This is pretty quick grab and go. But my roommate and I probably get it at least once a week. Taco Boys, specifically the one on Rural Road, specifically that one is probably my go-to. Cruz, my roommate and I, we love it there. And yeah, it's really good.
Now, here's my conversation with Brad Schlossman.
What are some thoughts going into this ASU and North Dakota series?
Well, I think it should be a really good series. I think both teams have had pretty good first halves, and both teams have been playing without their first line center. And I think we might see both of them play. So I think both teams might get a pretty big boost coming into the second half. And, Cruz Lucius has obviously proven himself in college. Cameron Berg has too. And those can be big game changers for those two teams that are already, I think have looked pretty good in the first half.
There are six transfers on this ASU team this year: Cruz Lucius, Ben Chimek, Ryan Kerwin, Noah Beck, Artem Schlein, and Luke Pavicic. Is there anyone that stands out to you?
I mean, a lot of them have had pretty good starts. Noah Beck is obviously scoring. He did that over at Clarkson as well. Last year, his numbers were down a little bit, but he's obviously got those back up this year. Šimek's having a really strong year too. Pavicic has played quite a bit for the Sun Devils. When you look up and down their lineup, a lot of their top players have been transfers, whether it was this year or last. Beck's their leading scorer, Šimek's second leading scorer, then it's Kerwan, then it's Dylan and Ty Jackson, then it's Lucas Sillinger. Potter is obviously a freshman, and then it's Schlein after that. So a lot of these top scorers are transfers here for ASU, and they've done a really good job in the portal.
Has there been any rule changes that are of note in 2024 this season coming in?
Well, I think the one I notice all the time, they toss the centers out, where before they'd warn the center and give them a second crack at it. I think that's been a pretty good change. I do like the new high sticking rule where it's shoulder level. I just think when you had high stickings, guys tip a puck from well beyond the net. It was so tough to tell when you're using the crossbar as a reference. Like, was it over the crossbar? Was it not? It's really hard to tell. But when you do shoulder, that's a lot easier to tell. So I think they made things a little bit easier on officials. And I think that's always a good thing.
And speaking about officials and rule changes, ASU is now in the NCHC. We're getting some consistency with officiating here with that. What are your thoughts on just ASU and how they've been able to come into the NCHC this year?
Yeah, I think it's been a long time coming. I think when ASU got a team, you kind of figured this was going to happen at some point. And the big thing is ASU needed to get a rink. I don't think playing at Oceanside was viable for a lot of members in the NCHC. Then all of a sudden, Mullet gets built, and then the world kind of shuts down. You have the pandemic, and at that point, the NCHC and every other league is just trying to live day to day. Like they're just trying to get by the next day, and there's a new crisis that pops up. So the last thing on their mind at that point is expansion and doing other things. It's just getting through. So once they got the arena, got through the pandemic, then it happened. And I think when it happened, everyone kind of looked at that and said, yeah, that's about right. We kind of figured this would be a really good fit for the NCHC. And I think it has been.
Playing how many games was it on the road that they it was
Yeah,
I
they
think
played an entire season on the road. So that was pretty crazy. But hey, you know what? They got a season in. And so that was pretty good for ASU and their players to be able to play that year.
you followed the CHL news pretty closely. Where are things standing there? As you know, we're kind of 2 months from that news. How are things going there?
Yeah, I think right now we're seeing a lot of public commitments from players whose CHL junior eligibility is expiring. And I think those ones that the CHL teams are happy about, hey, these guys are moving on to college. It's great. We're already going to lose them. I think where it's going to become really interesting is once the season ends, you're going to start seeing colleges go after some of the players who still have eligibility left. I'm thinking the CHL teams probably won't be as happy when some of those guys leave. It's going to be really interesting to see how many of them leave, at what age are they leaving. I'm fascinated to see how that ends up working, but I think time will tell. Right now, you are seeing some commitments. I think you're going to see a lot more.
This is just kind of a random question. How do Frozen Four host schools work? For example, how does Wisconsin host the Frozen Four in Tampa?
Well, schools just bid on it. So they bid on a destination. North Dakota's going to host in Las Vegas in a year and a half here. So they ended up bidding on it and they set everything up. And that's kind of how they end up doing that. Wisconsin has hosted at Tampa before.
We have the Dem I have the Denver and Maine game on in the background. What are some things that you've seen around the NCHC this last weekend and going into these next couple weeks here?
Well, I think it's really interesting. Denver got off to that blistering start, winning its first 12 games, really dominated non-conference. And, you're looking at Denver as the clear-cut favorite in the NCHC. And then all of a sudden, conference play started, and Denver hasn't been great in conference play. Even there's, it's not only the wins and losses. You look in offensively and defensively, they rank sixth or seventh in save percentage in a bunch of these categories. They just haven't played great. And I think to me, that's what I'm trying to figure out. What exactly is Denver? Is Denver going to get back to rolling a little bit in the second half? Did they feast on a non-conference schedule that wasn't quite as good? I'm not sure what to think. You know, I did pick Denver to win the league. We'll see how that goes. I think that's a storyline to watch. You know, North Dakota's won four of the last five Penrose Cups, and North Dakota had a little bit of a slow start. Now you look up at Christmas and the Fighting Hawks are in second place, and all of a sudden they're right back in there and ready to charge for another Penrose Cup. I think if you're looking at analytics, one team that might bump up a little bit in the second half is Minnesota Duluth at 5-10, not a great record. A lot of their analytics indicate they should be about 500 or a little over 500. And that's without Max Plant. Max Plant's going to come back now in from injury. And I think you could see, you know, I don't think they're going to win the Penrose Cup, but I think you're going to see a much better record in the second half. And then the team that analytics don't really like is St. Cloud State. The Huskies had phenomenal goaltending early this season from Isaac Posh. Now he's out for a while. Gavin Enright comes in. He's played a ton of college hockey games. And, you know, goaltender of the month in December in the NCHC, he played great against St. Thomas. So that's got to be encouraging for St. Cloud State. But I think the Huskies, to repeat their first half, they're going to have to play better. You know, they relied on some really exceptional goaltending that's hard to expect to maintain, I believe, no matter who's, even if Posh is still in there. You know, that's just the number of saves he's had above expectation is really impressive.
Speaking of Denver, Denver dropped that game to UNLV in the shootout. What's your take on club hockey and just the rise of that? And do you see any more club teams entering the NCAA in the near future?
Well, I think that the big challenge there is financial. I mean, just a great weekend, or a great, I should say, evening for UNLV. Probably caught Denver off guard a little bit. Denver ends up coming back from a 5-1 deficit to tie it. Shot attempts were pretty heavily in Denver's favor. You know, the next night, UNLV lost 8-0 at, you know, CC. A really impressive club program. Obviously, they've competed for national championships there. You know, I think we've wondered if UNLV would eventually make it to D1, but it's a financial issue for a lot of these teams. It's not going to be a talent issue, especially when you consider that there are, you know, 1,000 more eligible players starting next year with the opening of the CHL. You know, there's enough talent to have more teams. It's a financial issue if they can start a program.
This is the first year of the new playoff format in the NCHC, with the 8 and 9 play-in game and the last year at Xcel Energy Center. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, actually, they got rid of the 8 and 9 game after announcing it. So first, they were going to have the 8 and 9 game. Now they pulled the plug on that. So yeah, and I think it makes sense. You know, it was going to be an expensive game. They were going to play it on like a Tuesday or a Wednesday or something, and it was going to be at the one seed, so no one was going to be there. It's like, what are we doing here? So I think I kind of like the idea of, you know, pulling the plug on that game. It is the last year at the X, which will be weird, you know, especially for the people who have been going there since the old WCHA days for the Final Five, and, you know, expect to go down to the Twin Cities for over that weekend in March. And it's going to be really weird when they start playing home games. But with the way the league is set up, I think it makes sense. The NCHC was able to hold on to neutral site longer than others. They're flirting with disaster there. The number of teams in the league that can drive there, you know, we could see an ASU Western Michigan final, and the crowd there is not going to be great. And I think when you're playing for a championship in the league, you want a great crowd and you want a wild environment. And if ASU and Western play for a league title and that game's in either Tempe or Kalamazoo, you're going to have an unbelievable crowd. If it's in St. Paul, that's not going to feel like a championship game. So I think they kind of had to do it to prevent things like that, but it'll be weird for sure.
Very early for this, but any Hobie Baker favorites?
Yeah, I thought at Christmas I wrote in my column that I think Sam Rinzell, the defenseman from Minnesota, was my favorite. I don't think he's like pulling away from the pack at all or anything. But 8 goals from a defenseman, he's on pace for what, 16 plus goals from a D-man? That's unbelievable. And Minnesota's having team success. I think there are a number of guys, though, that could work their way in. Last year at Christmas time, I think we knew Celebrini was going to be a finalist. I think the BC guys had kind of separated. This year, I really don't know if there's like a big separation. A lot of guys can get in there with big second halves.
Dave Starman joined the show earlier in the season. I asked him about the five overtime game between North Dakota and Minnesota Duluth. What was going through your head when you were covering that game?
Well, at first, how are we going to handle this deadline? Then we handled the deadline, and I wrote like a running story, and then I didn't really have to worry about it. I thought in the first 10 minutes of the first overtime, North Dakota was kind of all over Minnesota Duluth in that game and had tons of chances. And then after that, like when the second overtime came and third overtime came, I mean, neither team had very many scoring chances. So it was not like, for me, it wasn't like, I can't believe this game is still going. It was like, how is this going to end? Like these teams aren't making mistakes. They were playing simple hockey and neither team was making mistakes. If there was one way I would have guessed how it would have ended, I would have guessed Jake Sanderson was going to end it because he seemed like the one guy that had legs. He was unbelievable in the overtimes. He ends up hitting the post a couple times. Duluth comes down and scores right after one of them, and that's kind of overtime hockey. But yeah, it was. I actually got the feeling after about the second overtime, I was like, we might be here a while. These teams aren't. There's not a lot of scoring chances, you know.
Couple rapid fire questions to close it out. How did you get into covering college hockey?
Well, I was working at the Herald. I had an internship at the Herald in college. I started school there. And then Virg Foss, who had covered UND hockey for the Herald for 36 years, he retired in September and they moved me in. And I was, what, 23, 24, something like that, and started covering college hockey. And yeah, I was 20, 23. Anyways, I was right out of college. And then I've done it ever since.
ASU won't be making the trip to Grand Forks this year, but what are some recommendations that you can give to Sun Devil fans when they do?
Oh man, breakfast at Darcy's, wings at the Parrot's K, and then you got to try the red pepper at some point. It's just a Grand Forks classic. Those are kind of, and then Blue Moose in East Grand Forks is a no risk restaurant because you can go there with all sorts of different people who have all sorts of different food preferences, and you'll win. That's a safe bet is Blue Moose if you're looking for something go to. And then if you want late night pizza, Deeks is where to go.
What makes the red pepper a must try?
It's just, you talk to anyone that went to UND and that's kind of the legendary, it's a hole in the wall type place that everyone has memories at, and you got to try it.
And who did you choose for your NCAA champ for this year?
I chose BC. They've got that they lost a couple guys, but they keeping Perreault, was a big deal. Keeping Leonard was a big deal. I like the decor there. And then maybe the thing that I put them over the top for me was Jacob Fowler in net. I saw him win a Clark Cup for Youngstown, and he was absolutely unbelievable that whole season and in the playoffs. And when you have some firepower, you have good D, and you have a game-changing goaltender, I think that's a pretty good recipe for winning. And a guy who's done it at crunch time before, he did it in the USHL.
What's the weather up there today?
Today it's cold. Yeah, we had a pretty good start to winter, and then it actually just turned cold today. It's going to be cold for the next week. So on Thursday, I am going to be very ready to hop on a plane and head to Tempe, Arizona. I think seeing this game was scheduled in January made everyone here excited.
Did you pay the conference for that?
Yeah, no comment.
Thanks to Bennett and Brad for joining the show. You can follow the show on X and on Instagram on Inferno on Ice Pod, and we'll catch you next time on Inferno on Ice.
you have any breaking news to share today about anything?
Do I?
Yeah.
I don't think so.